There's no doubt that according to the Word of God here, the church at Jerusalem is growing. It is not only growing in the spiritual sense, which is the most important, by the way, but it is very clear in this text of Scripture that the church at Jerusalem is growing numerically. And anytime something grows numerically, it presents challenges. And it's obviously a good thing, but it presents challenges. They have been obedient, by the way. Why has growth come? Why has growth come to this early church in Jerusalem, this first century church? The reason why growth has come is because, look at, if you will, in verse number 1, and after those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, they were, how did the disciples multiply? And let's think about this word disciple here for just a minute. The disciple. We have, in Christianity, I believe, we have someone who is saved and on their way to heaven, but may not be a disciple. And then we have someone who is saved and on their way to heaven. And when I'm not talking about disciples as in, you know, Bartholomew and Peter, and I'm talking about a disciple, small d, if you will. And then we have someone who's saved, but they're wanting to be a disciple. In other words, they want to grow, and they want to move forward, and they want to advance, and they want to let the Bible, like we said earlier, they want the Bible to be where they get their doctrine from and their belief system from and how they conduct themselves from. And believe me, you would think every Christian would want to be a disciple. I'm not saying that someone who is not a disciple is not saved. I'm saying that someone who is a disciple is someone who has a great desire and passion to grow in grace and in the nurture of God. And there's only one way to do that, someone who is consistently in the Word of God. Not just reading the Word of God, but meditating on the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God and then taking it a step further and obeying the Word of God. Our theme this year, trust and obey. The Bible says that the disciples were growing and they've been obeying God and the preaching of the Word of God. Every time the Word of God goes forth, there will be increase. I echo what Pastor Nathan says. We may not always see the increase, but it is not our responsibility to stand around and wait for the increase. It is our responsibility to continue to say, "Thus saith the Lord." It is our responsibility to preach the Word of God. It is our responsibility to teach the Word of God to the children that God has given us or anyone that we come in contact with. Give the Word and let the Holy Spirit of God bring the increase. Well, what's happened here? Increase, 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 increase. The Bible says there, multiplication, and by the way, that's what we want to take place. We've talked about this before. Do you remember? Maybe talking about this before. Multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. You get numbers a lot faster, a lot bigger numbers in multiplication, right? We're going back to math class. Back to math class. It takes a long time using addition, but when you get to multiplication, those numbers grow and grow and grow and grow a lot faster. And I believe that's an application that can be made here, was that the disciples were preaching, people were being saved, they were being discipled, and then guess what? They were going out and preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, and then they were being discipled. That's called multiplication, and that's what we want today as well. Now, I want you to go with me, please, in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I believe God uses things specifically in His order and His timing, even within a service like this, to have everything planned as God wanted it. And I believe Pastor Nathan alluded to this just a moment ago, and yet the Word of God is clearly tells us exactly what he said with regards to our responsibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 7, the Bible says, "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth." All right, so we've got planters and we've got waterers. Notice what it says. "But God." Well, those are powerful words, aren't they? No matter where you find them in the Bible, "but God." "But God." "But God giveth the increase." Notice something great about this. Something great about this is God is going to give the increase. And we do not have to take that upon us, that it is our responsibility to bring the increase. We are not ones who bring in the increase. No, we have a responsibility. What is our responsibility? It's twofold. We're either going to be planting or we're going to be watering. Maybe it's threefold, or it's going to be both. But we must understand that as a planter and as a waterer, it's not about us, it's about our God. And God will bring the increase. I wrote this down. While God gives the increase, there is a need for planters and waterers. Would you not agree with me today that increase cannot come until it's planted? And you have a crop without a seed? I've never heard of such a thing. If you can do one, let me know. I don't know how that would work, but I don't think it can work that way. You've got to have a seed. And spiritually speaking, what is the seed? The Word of God. Yes. The Word of God is the seed. That means every day we have an opportunity to be planting the seed of the gospel. We have an opportunity every day to be watering the seed of the gospel. And we have an opportunity every day to be asking God, bring the increase. God, bring the increase. Well, we cannot say God, bring the increase when we're not planting any seed. This is one seed, the way I look at it. This is one seed. It's not a track. It's one seed. And I tell you what, I want to be involved in all of it, not the increase, but praying for it. That's what's happened here in the church. Our theme today, by the way, is growing pains. Growing pains. And we see that they're having that, and we must move along quickly. While God gives the increase, there is a need to be planters and waterers. Number one, growth brings new challenges. Growth brings new challenges. As we refer to Acts chapter 6 in the Word of God, the Bible says that there was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. The daily ministration was basically a food distribution system that they had in the early church. And it's growing and it's expanding. And I wrote this down. More people equals more problems. You've heard someone say that I'm going to go over there. I'm leaving this church and I'm going to go over to this church over here because this church looks like the perfect church. And I'm going to go over there and I'm going to go and start attending that church. And you've heard the story, right? How the person said, this looks like a perfect church. But yeah, but if you go over there and you join that church, it's not going to be perfect anymore. There is no perfect church, right? Why? Because a church is made up of imperfect people like Pastor Turner and like yourself. And when we get more of us, guess what we get? We get more problems. By the way, that's not a negative thing. It's just a natural thing, isn't it? More people equals more problems. Two main groups are listed here in the Bible, as we see in the early church, the Grecians and the Hebrews. We could refer to them as the Hebrew Jews and the Hellenistic Jews. The Hebrew Jews and the Hellenistic Jews. The Hebrews were Aramaic speakers. We talked about that word a minute ago. Okay, you remember that? They were Aramaic speakers, and the Hellenistic Jews were Greek speakers. So, just like we have here in 2020, they have a multinational church here in the church at Jerusalem. And they were perceiving this Hellenistic group, or the Grecian group, if you will, they were perceiving that their widows were not getting as much as the Hebrew widows were getting. There was a need. This group thought they were being discriminated against, and guess what happened? Tension began to build. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a company, or maybe us even in a church where things are happening and things are growing, and you notice that so-and-so gets all the good jobs and you get all the bad ones? And of course, you wouldn't be worried about that, now would you? And we all are full of pride, aren't we? And we all want to have the best. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive for the best, but that's exactly what's happening here. There are some growing pains. And tension was building. Tension was building. Remember, there was persecution from the outside in the church. Talked about that already. They were in prison. God brought them out of prison. But tension is building. And you know what the devil is looking for? The devil is looking to find a foothold in your life and in my life. The devil is the master divider. He doesn't like multiplication when it comes to the church. Right? He doesn't like multiplication. He doesn't want the church to grow. He doesn't want you to grow in grace. He doesn't want more people to come. He doesn't want visitors to come every Sunday to Anchor Baptist Church. He doesn't want you to open your Bible tomorrow morning and think, okay, it's Monday morning. I got the preaching yesterday. Praise the Lord. I got teaching. I got to sing with the saints of God. And we got to assemble together online or here in person. But it's Monday. I need the Bible today. You know, the devil doesn't want you to read your Bible tomorrow. Devil doesn't want you to pray tomorrow. Hey, by the way, the devil doesn't want you to go to heaven. He wants you to go to hell with him. And he's doing everything he can. If you're not saved today, the devil's doing everything he can to keep you from being saved and trusting Christ as Savior. He's going to keep you full of pride. And that's the main reason why people will go to hell, is because of pride. But the devil wants to divide, not multiply. He hates multiplication, right? You know what he loves? Division. You know, I hated division in school. Couldn't figure that thing out. Took me a long time. I did eventually figure it out, you know. I wondered why I didn't like division, Brother Jose. I wondered why that I loved multiplication. Now I know why. Because the devil likes division and God likes multiplication. That's exactly why. By the way, if you're taking division in school right now, online, or you kids that are here, division is good. You need to do it, all right? Sorry, parents, if you're homeschooling, or if you're not homeschooling and your kids say, but pastor said division is of the devil. I did say that, didn't I? Okay, well, rewind that. You need to learn division, all right? Just not in the church, all right? Multiplication, that's what the Lord's after. Devil's after division, though. Tension was building. By the way, this is what the enemy always tries to create in a church that is moving forward with the gospel. Division. Do you know a church that is basically, you know, and again, I'm not saying a small church is wrong. No, it's not about the numbers, folks, okay? This is what we're talking about. I don't know what the average size church is in Canada. I think it used to be around 50. Independent Baptist Church used to be around 50 people. That's wonderful. We're not talking about the numbers of it. We're talking about a church that is advancing with the gospel. Satan takes note and says, all right, we don't like that. We don't like that, do we? He talks to his demons. You know, we don't like that. We've got to bring division. Why? Because he doesn't want God's program. What is God's program? God's program is this: the local church going forth with the gospel, making disciples. That's in every culture, in every language. Satan doesn't like it, so he brings division. Number one, growth brings new challenges. Number two, growth needs new leaders. Would you think about that with me for a minute? Growth needs new leaders. I wrote in parentheses the word attention. Attention. Remember that when you were in line and you were in line going for the water fountain? All right, everybody, stand in attention. Hey, I'll tell you. Stand in attention. She's fine. Stand in attention. Means, you know, get your arms in. We're soldiers. Don't have your hand in your pocket. That's not standing attention. New growth needs new leaders. The pastor of the church, the assistant pastor of the church, they are not paid to be a Christian for the people. Think about that. You do not pay me to be a Christian for you. We all have a responsibility to be what? A Christian, a disciple. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility too, by the way, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to grow in grace. It is up to me to get the Word of God out, to get on my knees and to be praying and to be giving the gospel seed. I wrote this down. Every new creature needs to be a preacher. Would you write that down? Would you write that down? Would you take note of that? Every creature, every new creature, I'm talking about what the Bible says, that we have been made a new creature when we get saved. Right? A new creation. Every new creature needs to be a preacher. I became a new creature when I was 9 years old. And then growing in grace, I need to be a preacher. What's a preacher? A preacher is someone who tells people about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this. Please think about it. Online attendees right now, think about it. In-person attendees, think about it. When is the last time you took time to share the gospel with anyone in any way, shape, or form? When was the last time? I submit to you, it's probably been too long for most of us. It's been too long. That's not right. Growth needs new leaders. The church needs a lot of new creatures to be preachers. Notice it talks about these men that they... three things about these men. They went and found some new leadership. Look at verse number 3, please. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report. Number 1, they were good men. They were good men. They were respected. I find it interesting, and I think I might allude to this later on. If not, I want to say it now in case I forget. But maybe you knew this, but those names that they listed, those are all Greek names. Do you see the ironic thing of that? It was the Greeks who said, "You're not dealing with our widows like your widows." And so what did they do? It's kind of like over the 20 years almost of pastoring, I praise the Lord for every idea that you've had, that I've had, and a lot of mine have been just, you know, they haven't worked out, and you just have to say, okay, well, we tried it. Let's just try it another way. But sometimes I've had people come, and hopefully I'm not thinking of anybody necessarily, but I've had people come, and they said, you know what, we need this, and we need this, and we need this in the church. And you know what I say to them sometimes? I say, great, you can head it up. I think that's exactly what happened here in this. I don't have proof other than the fact that it was the Grecians who came and said, we need our widows need more help. And what did they do? They chose out all 7 men, and they're all Greek names. Okay, then we'll find some men in your group, if you will. I just find that to be interesting. But they were good men. Notice this. Secondly, they were godly men. And this isn't about men necessarily. This is ladies as well. But in the context of the context of the scripture here, they were good men, honest report. Number 2, they were godly men. Notice they were full of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need, church. We need men and women filled with the Holy Ghost. You know the difference between being filled with the Spirit and not filled with the Spirit? You know the difference? Someone who is not filled with the Spirit is continually living on the ways of the flesh, the ways of the world, the ways of whatever feels good, do it. And that's a Christian can do that, by the way. Someone who is filled with the Spirit wants to do things according to the Scripture, wants to do things according to the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding in their life. That's someone who is filled with the Spirit. That's what we need in 2020. We don't need pastors, assistant pastors, church members, church attenders, et cetera, that are filled with the flesh. No, we need people that are godly, that are filled with the Spirit of God. So they were good, they were of honest report, they were godly, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But then number 3, and I'm trying to go through this a little bit quicker, they were gifted. They were gifted. Notice, they were also filled with wisdom. Verse number 3. Whom we may appoint over this business. That was the resume. Oh, that's what I want in my life. I want to be a good man. I want to be a man of virtue, a man of honesty. How about you? I want to be a man that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be a godly man. This is leadership, folks, and it doesn't mean you have to stand behind the pulpit. It doesn't mean you have to lead a song. You could come in and sit in a chair and be just as much a leader. Growth needs new leaders. Gifted men, they were full of wisdom. Nextly, number 3, we must be careful because number 3, growth cannot distract us. Notice what it says. Verse 4. But we, the apostles, the pastors, if you will, all Christians could be. Contextually, that's what it's talking about, but I believe, and we're making that application, but I believe we can apply it, every one of us. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. I've written down in the margin of my Bible with verse number 4, the word priority. And to the ministry of the word. The apostles were determined to continue preaching the word. The apostles were determined to continue to be given themselves to prayer. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the primary priority, whatever word you want to put on it, responsibility for the under-shepherd that we have at Anchor Baptist Church. I know that I'm speaking of myself, but I want it to be known that it doesn't matter if it's me or whoever the next pastor will be whenever that happens someday. Their responsibility is not clerical. Their responsibility is not paperwork. Their number one responsibility is not making a name for themselves or the church. Their number one responsibility is the ministry of the word and prayer. I want to say I'm so thankful for a church that pays my full salary. And I'm thankful to the Lord who enables us to pay the preacher and pay an assistant pastor. But we must, number three, we must not be distracted. The apostles were willing to sacrifice, this quote, the apostles were willing to sacrifice their own comfort and safety. By the way, most of them eventually died as martyrs. They were willing to sacrifice their own comfort and safety for the preaching of the gospel, giving themselves, do you see that? Give ourselves, would you underline that? Give ourselves, giving themselves. This is not just an empty figure of speech. They were not looking for promotion or glory. Their purpose was singular, with a three-part focus, but it was to minister the word, pray, and watch God build the church, His church. What was happening here in the church in Jerusalem was the growth was starting to distract them from doing what they had been called to do. Growth cannot distract. Number four. Growth, and I've kind of alluded to this already, growth requires unity. Notice verse 5. And the saying pleased the, what's the next word? You see it? You say it with me? The saying pleased the whole. Not H-O-L-E, like a hole in the ground or a hole in your head. W-H-O-L-E. The whole multitude. That's unity. That's unity. They said, this is what we need. We need some help. We've got to continue to preach. We've got to continue to pray. We've got to give ourselves continually to this. We cannot be caught up with the people getting their physical needs met. That's not our priority, as the apostles were saying. It doesn't mean they didn't care. It just means they're saying, you know, this is not the priority that we have. No, our priority is pray, preach, pray, preach. And they said, we need to get some help, but these have got to be people that are of honest report. They got to be good men. They got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They got to be godly men. They got to have wisdom. They got to be gifted men. And the whole multitude said, aye. Right? They agreed. There were no dissenters. See, growth must have unity. Growing pains. Growth requires unity. The responsibilities were delegated so the apostles could continue their work. By the way, I'm not preaching this today to say that we don't have that I don't have the liberty to pray and preach the Word of God and study the Word of God. I'm just saying this is where we're at in the series of messages. But you know what? I had intended to preach something else and go another direction, but I could not get away from continuing in the book of Acts this morning. This is what the Lord had. And I want to get to this last statement. Remember next, lastly, growth should move us to pray more. Growth should move us to pray more. Okay, verse number 5, you have the list of the men. How many of you knew Stephen and Philip pretty well? You knew those two names. Yeah. The other ones are kind of tucked in there, aren't they? We don't really read much about those other 5 men. But we kind of know a little bit more about Philip and Stephen. So they list the names, verse 6. You can see it. You can just see it in your mind's eye. Seven men are before the apostles. They're before the leaders, the pastoral leadership. They set before them the apostles. And when they had what? Prayed. When they had prayed. They laid hands on them. And notice what happened. The beginning of the text talks about a murmuring, which is a time of dividing that's coming in slowly. Verse 1, right? The enemy's trying to come in and stop and thwart, and there's growing pains, and he's trying to cause there to be great division. Verse 1. But I see a group of people that handled it in a responsible way, and they handled it in a God-honoring way. And the Bible says that they came, they have these 7 men there, they prayed. Growth brings us to prayer. Growth brings us and moves us to pray more. It's not the time to sit down and say, okay, we've got this figured out now. We've got A, B, and C. We know what to do here at this hotel room. And praise the Lord, we're seeing some growth. No, it's the time to pray more. Why? Because the devil is trying to bring in murmuring. I love how verse 7 brings this particular event kind of to a close. It starts with the potential of division. Right? You see it? But verse 7, after they follow the leading of the Lord, oh, may we follow the leading of the Lord every day of our life. In verse 7, the Bible says, after they did all this, and the word of God, what? Increased. Why? Because they handled growth responsively and biblically. Responsibly and biblically. It increased. And notice what it says there. And the number of the disciples multiplied. The devil tried to divide, division. Dot, dot, line, right? But because they followed the leadership, because they followed the leading of the Lord, because they did it in an honorable way, and they said, look, okay, let's figure this out. Let's take a step back. Let's figure this out. We need 7 men to help us with this. We need 7 men to help us organize. We need to keep preaching. We need to keep praying. And they did all that they did. And the Bible says that the word of God was not thwarted in any way. The word of God went forward, and it increased, and the disciples multiplied. In Jerusalem, greatly. You find the word multiplied as well in Acts 2:41. Notice, and a great company of the priests as well were obedient to the faith. I've underlined that. That the word of God increased so much that some of the priests in the temple came to Christ. Some of the religious leaders of the day came to Christ. Why? Because they handled the growing pains in a Christ-honoring biblical fashion. I submit to you today, growth moves us to pray more. They prayed for these men. And what happened? The word of God increased and it multiplied. Okay, here's the final thought. A proper response to growth will result in more growth. Growth, by the way, is never the goal. We are not, our goal is not to grow and have 10,000 people in church. Our goal is to make Anchor Baptist Church honorable to God. That we would make God as our goal always. What does God want for this church to be and do? What does God want for this? What does God want for this? God is always the goal. But as the Word of God is pushed forward and moved out and prayed over and agonized over, and it goes out on the internet the last two nights, we have no idea how far it reached. That was the watering. That was the planting. And now we say, oh God, bring the increase. We might be walking down the street of gold in heaven one day. We might be walking past someone and we might be talking about 2020. Are we going to be allowed to talk about 2020 in heaven? I don't know anyway. We'll be talking about 2020, Brother Martin. Now I imagine this, that someone would overhear us talking about 2020, and we'd be talking about the youth conference 2020. And I can imagine someone saying, well, what did you just talk about? What youth conference? You say, is it going to happen? I don't know, but I like to imagine. I say to them, where are you from? Well, I'm from Japan. Oh, you're from Japan. You're not from Burnaby, eh? No, I'm from Japan. I don't know if we're going to speak Japanese or English or what we're going to speak, but I think we're going to understand one another. Hello. Because we did have somebody watching from Japan on Friday night, by the way. Yeah, I'm from Japan. I one of my friends started a thing on Facebook, a watch party, and I watched the youth conference, and you know that began my journey to Christ. I didn't get saved till about 5 years later, but I got saved. It changed my whole life. Ended up getting married, and our kids serve the Lord, and. Thank you for having that youth conference, 2020. Because that's where the seed was planted. That's where the seed was watered. And I'm in heaven today because of God's grace, but because Anchor Baptist Church, to God's glory, said we must move forward. It doesn't matter what gets in the way, God can move it out of the way. We must continue to preach and pray and preach and pray. Pray and preach. We must be humble because growth can bring difficulties. However, God wants to take growth and use it to bring more growth for His glory and for His honor.